Jesus, some of his last words on the planet, Matthew 28, said, "Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, everybody." Nobody is left out of God's plan. Aren't you glad for that today? Nobody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And here's the promise. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. How many are glad for that? Jesus, listen, let me say it this way. Jesus does not promise a storm-free life. He promises a never alone life. Storms are going to come. Things are going to happen. And I think of the people, and I want you to be thinking, church, while I'm speaking to you, and I hope it encourages you, this message today. But think about the people today outside this building in a storm. Think about the people you know that are in a storm, that need to know Jesus and need to know that he doesn't promise a storm-free life, but he does promise a never-alone life. And he said for us to go to all the nations. I want to let you know today in on something, all right? We're going to be the parent church of a Congolese congregation. I practiced that, all right? Congolese congregation in Danville, an Assemblies of God pastor that fled out of the Congo, came of all places to Hendricks County, and he was a minister over there, and he's got a group of people, and they're looking for somebody who will kind of parent them and help them. He knows about two words of English, okay? So I'm hoping the translator knows what he's saying every time we talk, all right? But anyway, I want to pray for them today because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And we go to the nations, but how many know the nations are coming to us too, right? And this is the great commission that Jesus gave to us to go into all nations preaching the gospel. So I want to pray over them today, but I want to pray over us as well. Are you ready? If you're ready, say I'm ready. All right, let's pray. Father, open our ears, open our hearts right now. Help us to hear what you would want to speak to us in this place. You are in this house by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we ask that you'll do what only you can do. And Lord, we thank you for these Congolese people that were able to come alongside and add strength to them and help them to reach those who maybe feel disconnected in our community. They have trouble talking to other people. They're just kind of huddled together. And Lord, we pray that you will just use us to reach some people that otherwise it would be so challenging to reach. But Lord, you're making a way in the desert. You're making a way in the wilderness. You're making a way where there seems to be no way. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask that your word would go forth even outside this building today. May it go through the internet right now to where any person's at. And I pray that you will touch hearts today like never before in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, God will do it. God will do it. We're in a series on promises, and we're going to be talking about promises all throughout till Easter. And by the way, Easter is coming just a few weeks. And you need to invite people to Easter services. We're going to have an extra service for Easter Saturday night, plus two on Sunday morning. So three opportunities for people to be touched and reached over that weekend. But you don't have to wait till Easter. All right, everybody knows that, right? To invite somebody to come. Here's the story. We're going to look at Mark chapter 4 for an illustration of this verse that I shared with you. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus had proven his power in Mark chapter 4 already. He had proved it through different times, through different situations, different circumstances, because Jesus doesn't always do it the same way he did it the last time. How many know that? See, we try to put God in a box, try to, you know, have him do it the exact same way, and God's bigger than your box. He's bigger than your box. And so this story that we're going to look at that illustrates this truth today, this promise from God's word, happens at the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you are familiar with the New Testament and you're familiar with the writings of the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who record the life of Jesus for us from four different perspectives so that we get a real good view of the life and ministry of Jesus. Much of Jesus' ministry happened around this body of water, the Sea of Galilee. And they're going to put a picture up on the screen for me. This sea, as it was called, was landlocked around it by mountains. And so as a result, this sea is a lot different than any other body of water on the planet. It's 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, the lowest fresh water in the world. It's known because of that low center of gravity, that lowness of this body of water, the moisture coming up, the mountains all around it, the wind that blows in. Often there can blow in immediate storms. Storms that just come up. Explosive thunderstorms. Gale-forced winds. It is not uncommon for waves to reach the height of 10, 12, even up to 20 feet. I mean, that's not where you want to kayak, huh? Right? And so it can just get crazy out there. And so this is the setting. This is where Jesus is going to get in this boat. They're going to go across this body of water that we're talking about right here. And you can research it for yourself. But here's what led to this. Jesus has been teaching, as he often did. And he was telling stories, and he was telling stories about very different things, sowing, and different kinds of parables. One of the parables, though, was a lamp under a bushel. And he said, don't do that. You shouldn't put a lamp under a bushel. You should let your light shine. How many grew up singing, let your little light shine, or something like that, right? This little light of mine. All right, so let's get back to the story. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Now, there's three problems with Jesus saying this. The problem is this body of water, as the evening cools down, the changes of temperature there, it all the more could cause a strong storm to come up. It all the more could cause a horrific storm to come on that sea. Plus, Remember, this is 2,000 years ago, and there's sea monsters out there. Come on, somebody. How many of you don't go out in the ocean more than ankle deep because of that? There's sea monsters out there. And Yam was a Canaanite god who controlled the seas, and would sometimes, that god they believed would get mad and cause storms to come up. And on the other side were Kuti people, all right? It was Gentiles, ungodly, uncircumcised people your mama warned you about, right? Said, don't go over there. How many grew up with a mama like that, right? Don't go over there. Don't go there. And Jesus, here's the other problem. Jesus just taught them, hey, you can't put your lamp under a bushel. We got to go let the light shine. Even on people we don't like. Even on people who don't look like us. People who don't speak like us. We've still got to be a light to everyone around. So there's the dilemma, because Jesus says, hey, let's go to the other side. So what do they do in verse 36? We're just going to read this story verse by verse. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Now, here's the first principle today, and maybe you need to write this down, is obedience doesn't mean smooth sailing. In other words, just because you become a Christian doesn't mean all your bills get paid miraculously. It doesn't mean when everybody else in your house gets sick, you don't get sick. It doesn't mean that you never have inherited genetic health struggles because you've become a Christian. It doesn't mean that everything comes up roses. Because picture this, all the disciples, they're tired. It's been a long day. Jesus can teach a long time, all right? There's times when they were like, hey, these people are hungry. You need to send them away because we're really hungry. we'd like to get something to eat. And so Jesus, everybody's tired. And we're going to see that Jesus is probably tired in his earthly body. But here's the good thing. They obeyed anyway. Hey, I don't know how easy or how hard, how difficult it's going to be to get across this body of water. It can get rough out there, but hey, we're fishermen, and we've done hard stuff before. And so Jesus says to do it, we're going to do it. So far, so good, right? But let's read the story. Verse 36, they took him along, and there also were other boats with him. And a furious squall came up. So this is not like a little ditty storm. This is big jumbo storm. A furious squall came up. And the waves, like we looked at earlier, that can happen here, broke over the boat. So maybe 10 to 20 foot waves at this point are coming at the boat so that it was nearly swamped. See, God sometimes takes us into storms not to discipline us, but to disciple us. A lot of people in Christian world, religious world, think, well, what did I do wrong? Or maybe you've asked that. What did I do that now I'm having this happen? I must have done something wrong. But I want you to see from this story, nobody did anything wrong. Jesus said, let's get in the boat, let's go to the other side, and they obeyed. Just because you obey Jesus doesn't mean smooth sailing, all right? So sometimes what God is doing is he's not trying to discipline us because you've been a bad person. Just look over at the other person next to you. Don't say anything. Just look at them, all right? Might be them. But he's wanting to disciple us because we can grow in the storm. Here's the next principle to write down, is Jesus is with you even if it doesn't feel like it. You can feel like, where are you, God? As a matter of fact, let's just read it. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion, okay? He's worn out. He's been teaching. I mean, they had two services maybe that day, you know? And he's worn out. It's like, you know, 8 hours of work of speaking and ministering these people, and he's worn out, and he's asleep in the boat. And so the disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Don't you care? Don't sit there so piously right now, all right? How many have ever wondered if he did? Do you care? Do you care? Do you care that my kid is sick right now? Do you care that my marriage is falling apart? Don't you care that my friends have deserted me? Don't you care that I don't have money to pay my bills? Don't you care that I feel so alone? Don't you care that I just feel like giving up today? Don't you care that my husband died, my spouse died? Don't you care that I just lost my job? Do you not care? I want to say something, child of God. He cares. Okay? Of course he cares. He's always in the boat. He's never not in your boat. So listen, you may be in your struggle, but you're not in your struggle alone. You're not alone. He just had taught them about how a sower goes out to sow. And sometimes there are weeds that pop up and try to choke out the seed. Sometimes the worries of this life. How many are professional, self-professing, self-confessing, perfect worriers in the house today, right? You got it down, right? That worry thing. And here's the thing that I want you to get today. I want you to understand this. Please hear me. Wherever you are, storms will come. Storms happen. Now, you may be surprised when they happen. You may be surprised how they happen. And you may be surprised where it even came from. But storms are a part of life. And there's nothing many times that we can do to prevent them. They just come up. They just happen in our lives. I got a text this week and I asked them if I could read it to you. This isn't all of it, but it was a long text, but I just want to read most of it to you today. This is what they said to me. Just when we get through one storm, we enter another worse storm. You ever felt that way? We have been struggling in ways we didn't even know existed and had all but given up hope at times. But over the last 48 hours, we identified one major flaw in everything we have been doing, and believe we now understand a lot more what and why we might be going through all of this. While we obviously don't know the key reasons we entered into these horrible times and storms. Now, I didn't change a word in this, okay? I think it revealed many weaknesses in our marriage, our faith, and our family. It revealed some stuff. That is why we are taking a step back for now and going to reset the narrative. As I was walking up my stairs to bed, a thought entered my mind. For some reason, everything started making sense again. Some of the fog cleared. And I want to believe that at my lowest moments, that might be when God finally spoke to me again. I now believe that maybe the reason we couldn't get out of this storm is because while we were thought we were living out God's plan, we weren't living for God and weren't making room for Him in our lives or in our marriage, and we didn't know how to either. If I'm right, God had a bigger plan for us. And the reason it took so long is because it took us too long to stop resisting God and start asking Him to be part of our lives and our marriage. After I walked up those stairs feeling like everything was lost, hope had disappeared, and God had left us for dead on the side of the road. Hey, this is raw, right? This is how you can feel sometimes. I knew things had to change, so I sat down and prayed. I didn't ask for anything physical. I didn't ask for the pain to go away or for blessings to be poured out on our lives. Instead, I asked God to come back into our marriage and fix the brokenness we were suffering through. I prayed that God would re-enter our marriage and help us make room for Him. My story isn't finished because it really hasn't started yet. I love that, huh? I've got good news for you. Even when He seems silent, Jesus is still present. He's still there. He's still there. Matter of fact, turn to the person next to you and say, He's still there. He's still there. He's still there. Yeah, type it in the chat today. He's still there. And here's the next thing. Write this down. Jesus has authority over storms. Jesus has authority over storms. So here's what, okay, they say, oh, don't you care? Jesus, He got up, verse 39, and here's what He does. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still, and the wind died down, and it was completely calm. In a matter of moments, the disciples see the humanity of Jesus. He's tired, He's sleeping, He's exhausted. But then they see the deity of Jesus, that He is Lord, He is sovereign, He is the mighty power over creation itself. Let me tell you something. When you are calm in a storm, it's not normal. What is normal is this. All right? How many know? You're yelling at everybody on the boat. Get with it. What's your problem back there? There's somebody back there's not rowing hard enough. Come on, let's pull our weight. Oh, you're sweating. Come on, somebody. You're sweating. You're using some choice words that you maybe haven't used in a while. You're saying, Lord, where are You? Why don't You care about us? Oh, why have You forsaken us? How many know some people like that? You know some people. Like, matter of fact, I'll just let you know, they're real close to your house, your apartment. They're like down the hall. They're out there. They're struggling. They're wondering, are we going to make it? Am I going to lose it this week? Am I going to just give up on all of this? Is there no God anywhere? You know some people like that? But here's the thing. They're striving, and look what happens. He says, be still, and it was completely calm. And then, verse 40, he said to his disciples, now why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid of this? Do you still have no faith? See, Jesus had told them something. Jesus had spoken something. The eternal Word, John says. The Word that was there before anything else. We saw the Word and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He says to them, why are you so afraid? Didn't you have enough faith? Because here's the thing, is when Jesus speaks the destination, the storm cannot cancel it. Oh, let me say that again. When Jesus speaks the destination, the storm cannot cancel it. See, He had said, we're going to the other side. And they thought, oh, He didn't know about a storm. Oh, He must not have known that this is going to mess up. Listen, the devil cannot undo what God wants to do in your life, in my life. The storm doesn't control the boat. The one in your boat controls the storm. Come on, somebody. See, we are going to the other side. I don't know what God's spoken to you. What's He spoken to you? What's He said to you about your life? What promises have you read? We're in a series on promises. There's hundreds of promises in God's Word. What promise has just ignited in your spirit? And you've latched on to it as though He just spoke it directly to you. I want to say over you today that whatever promise God has spoken in your heart, there is no storm in heaven, hell, or in between, under the earth, in the earth, above the earth, wherever. There is no demon in hell that can stop it from happening. Nothing can stop. When He speaks, that's it. Look at verse 41 then. There's a shift. And now they're scared of Him. I love it. They're like terrified and asked each other, who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey Him? See, let me ask you today, do you know, you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you prayed a prayer, I don't know if it's last week or last year or 50 years ago or whenever it was in your life, you prayed a prayer, you declared Jesus. Do you know who is in your boat? Do you know who you pray to? Do you know what power He possesses? Do you know His might, his abilities, that no storm is too strong for him. As a Christ follower, let me ask you, do you know who is in your boat? Because the one in your boat commands the wind. The one in your boat rules the waves. The one in your boat conquered death itself and holds all authority in heaven and on earth. There is nothing he cannot do. I want to read those verses again that we started out with. In Matthew 28, verse 18, verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, which we're doing, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let me just say real quick right here that notice the blessing of him being with us is when you're going to, not when you're just sitting. When you're sharing your faith, Jesus is never any closer, perhaps. Does everybody see that? When you're going out and saying, hey, what are you doing on Easter? Oh, well, how about the night before Easter? What are you doing at 5 o'clock? How about I pick you up? How about we go to dinner after church? It is way too quiet in here, all right? So, listen, he's with us as we go. But look at verse 18. We didn't read this one earlier. It's the very verse before this. Then Jesus came to them and said, this is what he said before he said go. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. See, this is how we have the confidence to go, because I don't go in my name. I don't pray in my name. Lord, on behalf of Craig, you know, and how good he is. No, in spite of Craig, Lord, would you please do this for the glory of your name? I love it. I've been reading through the Old Testament again, and David, I mean, David's a man after God's own heart, and even David says, who are we that we should be able to do these kinds of things? Who am I that God would pay attention to me? Let it be known, to him be all the glory and the honor and the praise, because he alone is worthy. That's how we ought to be. See, when you place your faith in Jesus, okay, you go from this, living like that. How many know you got neighbors, friends? Maybe you've been like that. To this. We should have had Carrie Underwood come today and sing, Jesus, take the wheel, right? Jesus, take the oar. Because I can't do it. How many know you can't do it? You can't get the cancer out. You can't get the marriage back. You can't get your kids to straighten up and love Jesus. You can't make it happen. You can't make a job come back that left. You can't do it, but he can. So who are you trusting today? See, there's a couple applications here today. There's some Christians who are still living like this. When Jesus is in your boat, Why are you acting like people who don't have Jesus in their boat? Because Jesus, I'll just speak for me, he makes all the difference in the world. 2 years ago, I had what the doctors say is a stroke on this stage and got rushed by ambulance to a hospital over here. They said I'd be there maybe 3 days or so, and they were going to do therapies and different things to try to help me and all, which my wife was really encouraged by that maybe they could do some other stuff too while I was there. Help me get a little better in some other areas too, you know, while you're at it. But anyway, that was the diagnosis. But this whole church was praying for me. I was praying for me. My family was praying for me. Let me tell you something. My extended family was praying for me. I don't even know how many people God woke up on the other side of the world that I'll never know till I get to heaven who were praying for me. And God walked into the hospital, and instead of being there 3 days or so and having therapy, with less than 24 hours, they said, we can't explain it, but you seem okay. You seem normal. And my wife again was kind of like, no. But anyway, they didn't know what my normal was, you know. And so they said, so we're going to let you go. And I walked out of the hospital in less than 24 hours, not because of some medicine or some doctor or whatever, because Jesus was in the boat. Oh, come on, somebody. He's worthy. If Jesus is in your boat, listen, he can calm the storm. He can calm the storm. He can change the situation in a moment. And I believe he wants to do it today. Let's pray. Father, there may be people here today who needed a reminder of who's really in their boat. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, oh, Pastor Craig, I needed this today, because sometimes when it gets dark, and sometimes when the wind's blowing, and sometimes when the waves are crashing, I get too focused on the storm instead of getting focused on the Savior. But today, I want to get my eyes refocused on the one who is able, who's more than able, who's with me, who said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, I'll go with you always. Oh, I want to trust in Jesus. I want to trust him with my storm today, with every situation in my life. I believe he is my Savior and Lord, and he will get me through this and everything else. Will you raise your hand if that's you today? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, church. Come on. If you're going through something right now, let's believe God for victory. Father, we thank you. There's not a storm strong enough to keep you from getting us to the other side. There's not anything that can hinder what you want to accomplish. So today, Lord, I speak over everyone's storm that's raising a hand today. God, that you will do what only you can do. Show yourself strong and mighty. May we not doubt you. May we not give in to fear. May we not be more focused on the storm than we are upon the Savior. And God, we thank you that you're going to get us to the other side. While we're still praying, there could be others that if you were to be real honest today, the problem is Jesus is not in your boat. He's not in your boat because you're guiding it. You're leading it. You're directing it. You're in charge. You're calling the shots. But today, maybe you realize that I need somebody bigger, somebody better, somebody greater than myself. I want to put Jesus in charge of my life. I want to surrender everything to him. I want to trust Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. If that's your prayer, will you raise your hand all over this room? Just raise it up right now and just say, yes, that's me. Yes, yes. Just raise it up all over this room. Online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. As a matter of fact, everybody pray this prayer. Nobody at Crossroads prays alone. Let's pray it together. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for all sin, and that includes mine. So today I confess Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my life. Take over my life. I give all to you. And I thank you, Lord, that from this day forward, I am not alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, let's celebrate those who made that declaration. Oh, that's awesome. Listen, I want you to check on that communication or connection card that you filled out earlier. That blue part on that card, it has two spots. One is, I decided today to follow Jesus. If you feel like, hey, I did that, I decided to follow Jesus today, check that box. If you feel more like, I used to follow Jesus, but I walked away from Jesus, but today I walk back to Jesus, then just say, I renewed my commitment to Christ. And then turn that card in either over at the Welcome Center if you're new or in the white boxes otherwise. And we'll be praying for you to continue to grow in Christ. We have a Next Steps room right across the hall as well, so you can find out about baptism and other next steps, and we'd love to help you with that. A couple of things. I think I saw my friends from the Congolese congregation slip in to the service, all right? I want them to come down here. Can you guys come down here? Because this is the pastor and his family from Bethel International Church in Danville, Indiana. Hey, while they're coming down here, I know you're excited, but I forgot to say this earlier, and I really am supposed to say this. They told me I'm supposed to say this, okay? So you need to listen to this. We're going to start a new path and system, everybody looking, in the parking lot to get ready for Easter, but we'll just keep on doing it as long as it's successful. But we want to have more organization to our parking, and we want to be ready for Easter. So there's going to be some changes. Now, some of you don't like change, okay? So I need you to get re-saved today, okay? Some of you. And just say, I am not going to be upset. I am not going to get uptight about this because somebody wants to guide me where I don't want to go. Because I want to go right there. I can do it. And if you get these cones out of my way, if you step aside, I'd be able to. Okay, just leave that at home. Okay? And come with Jesus in the car. And do what they tell you to do, because it's going to be better for everybody. Can you do that? Can you do that, church? Okay. All right. Here they are. Come on, stand up, you guys. Some of you come around them. Get ready to lay hands on them. We're going to pray over them today. Come on, some prayer partners, come around them. Anybody who wants to. Everybody else, just go ahead and stand up and stretch your hand this way. Just stretch your hand toward them. All right. God's going to use these people to reach people we'll never reach in our community. And we're going to pray the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit of God on them. Listen, next week, I'm going to go lead them in communion. And I thought that's all I was going to do. And then he told me, I'm going to preach. And we go for 2 hours. So I don't know what that's going to look like. By the time it's interpreted, it may be 2 hours, all right? But anyway, I'm excited about this. Can you tell? Let's pray. Father, oh, we pray the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit of God on these precious people. Lord, they have come a long way to live here in our community. And Lord, we believe you brought them here for such a time as this, to reach people that maybe this church could never reach. And so, Lord, would you anoint them today with the Holy Spirit? Give them boldness. Help them to know who's in their boat. And if God is for them, who can be against them? And we ask, Lord, that they would just feel the strength of this church as we pray over them today. And we believe, God, that they will do things that only God can do through their lives. And God will give you the glory, the honor, the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Give God glory. Give him praise. Awesome. Hey, listen, prayer partners are going to be down front. So if you need prayer for any reason, come down here. Receive the prayer that you need before you leave today. God bless you. Bring somebody with you next week.